The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
So that was the promise that they would be delivered out of this bondage. And Egypt represents the world, if you will. It represents our unsaved life. It represents bondage. So when we are bondage to slaves of sin prior to our conversion, then once we are converted and going through the Red Sea, that kind of depicts a picture of the person's baptism and then going into the promised land.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, everyone. Once again, we are in our Christmas series, 2021. And this week, we are in episode number 10. And we're going to be looking at the flight to Egypt. And let's go ahead and dig right in. I've already prayed, and we're ready to go here. I'm sitting here in my home studio apartment in Midtown Sacramento, Saturday, December 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2021. It's a foggy, dismal day out, but inside it's great. Got the heater on, and we're very comfortable here, and we thank God for that. Well, let's go ahead and read our text, Matthew 2, just verses 13 through 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring word to you. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Okay, great. Well, we see here in the first verse, now when they had departed, that is a leftover from last episode, episode number 9, the wise men. And as the wise men came to Jerusalem, we're just reviewing here a minute, and they were looking for this one to be born king of Israel. The Herod and the scribes and the Pharisees, they all got together, and it was determined by these experts in the Word of God that this prophet Micah had predicted the town of Bethlehem to be the place of the birthplace of the Messiah. And so therefore, these wise men had took off for Bethlehem. Now, King Herod had said, "Look, when you find him, come back and tell me that I may worship him too." Well, they didn't do that. They were warned in a dream by God to go another way home from when they found the child in the city of Bethlehem. So that's the idea there. It says, now when they departed, the wise men is talking about from the previous verse. Now it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt." Now this, of course, as we know from the wise men's visit, this babe Jesus born in a manger is no longer a little tiny baby, but he's now grown into a baby of probably 2 to 3 years old. He's about 2 years old. We'll say he's a toddler. Now, one of the things I wrote down in my bullet points here, an angel of the Lord, there's no epiphany here. Now, we talked about this several episodes ago when in the episode about the angels, the angelic visit, we talked about the angels. A lot of times in the Bible, it'll say the angel of the Lord, and it's capitalized, giving us an indication. It's talking about not just any angel, but a pre-incarnate second person of the Godhead, this none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He made several Old Testament appearances before he became a man in human flesh, and he showed up in the Old Testament as, quote unquote, the angel of the Lord. Here, it says an angel of the Lord, It's lowercase, and we're trusting the translators there. But it's just talking about an angel. Could it have been Gabriel? Gabriel was heavily involved in all of this from early onset. We don't know if it was Gabriel or not. It doesn't say, but it does say it was an angel, and it was in the form of a dream. A lot of times these angels appeared just in real time, just they just showed up, and it was very sudden. It was very shocking in a way. It caused a lot of fear in people. In fact, one of the first things they would say is, hey, don't be afraid, you know. Well, it showed up, he showed up to Joseph in a dream, and so just regular angel. Now, they were warned to flee, all right? Now, we're in the habit of questioning a lot of things. We think that maybe he would have questioned, why Egypt, Lord? There's a lot of other places I could hide out. But he didn't question that. He just obeyed. And he had a great trust in the Lord, that the message was from the Lord, and the Lord had told him to go to Egypt, and that's where he was to go. And Egypt was quite a ways south, if you will, if you go on a map, going down from the land of Israel. It's quite a ways down there. It's quite a journey. Well, they went down there, but why Egypt? Well, I think it's significant, and we're going to get into that here in the next verse or two, and we'll talk about that more. Why Egypt? And of course, he was promised that he would be told when it was safe to return. It wasn't given a time frame initially. He didn't say it's going to be a year. He didn't say it was going to be a short time, a long time. It was basically until Herod was out of power, and that would have been his death, until someone else took over. Well, also it says it was to fulfill a prophecy in verse 15. And it said it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, this is out of, and I put this in the summary for the podcast, this is out of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Oh, I guess I do have it printed in the summary there, the whole verse. It's a short verse. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Well, during the time of Hosea, there was a lot of rebuking going on for the unfaithfulness of Israel and Judah. Now, the Lord was just reaffirming his love for Israel and for the people. And that's what it was about in the context of the book of Hosea. It was just running through some times where the Lord was just showing how much he loved them, what he did for them. And he was using these analogies. Like one, he said that Ephraim was it says for the next few verses, it says, I taught Ephraim to walk, take them by their arms. They didn't know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. I was them to those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Another place it says they're like a stall fed calf. So he's comparing them to this animal and how you would care for an animal by feeding them and leading them by a leash, basically. So he's just kind of using these metaphors to show how much he loved Israel and how much he loved the people. And that's what the book of Hosea is about. But this idea that he called, out of Egypt, I called my son. Well, we know this is a reference to the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel was in bondage to the nation of Egypt. And they went down there as a small party. Back, if you go through Genesis there, in the late part of Genesis, talks about Joseph, and he was second to the Pharaoh. He brought his whole family down from Israel to avoid the famine. There was about 70, 75 people roughly. They grew into millions of people over 400 years. And there was a time when the Egyptians started to oppress the nation of Israel, keeping them in bondage. And they were no longer, Joseph and his family had no longer favor with the another Pharaoh took over. He was forgotten. And they started to oppress these Israelites. And So there was a deliverer God raised up, and his name was Moses. And the story goes that Moses delivered, through the hand of the Lord, Moses delivered these people out of the land of Egypt. So they came out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and back, and, you know, eventually into the wilderness, but then into the promised land. So that was the promise, that they would be delivered out of this bondage. And Egypt represents the world, if you will. It represents our unsaved life. It represents bondage. So when we are bondage to slaves of sin prior to our conversion, then once we are converted and going through the Red Sea, that kind of depicts the picture of the person's baptism and then going into the promised land, which could either mean a victorious life in Christ here on earth, or it could mean heaven, depending on what context you want to use that symbol. But the idea here was that Egypt, that he was calling Israel out of Egypt. And he uses this passage, the writer in Matthew there, Matthew uses this. He says, out of Egypt I call my son. He uses it to point to the idea how the Messiah, as a babe, was taken to Egypt with his parents. And then when it was safe to come back, when he came back, he was called back out of Egypt into the land of Israel. And so it was all for a symbolic reasons. And I always said, you know, Jesus, he had no sin. Remember, he's God Almighty who came to this world as a babe, but he grew up to be a man. But in all of his life here on earth, he did not have any sin in him. He was tempted like a man, but he had no sin. Now, we studied back a few episodes ago about the virgin birth. And the virgin birth, I forgot to mention during that passage, that message, is that Jesus, when he was born a virgin, it wasn't to make him sinless. He was already sinless. It was to protect his sinlessness of not having part of Adam's seed, if you will. He apparently, the sinful nature comes down through the male seed, because he was able to be born of a woman, born of God, but came through the woman's body, and he had no sin in him. Why is this significant? Well, for one thing, he had, to be a perfect sacrifice, he couldn't have been having any sin. But God does not sin, and so when he came to this earth, even though he wasn't a sinner, he identified with sinners. He was humble in that way. He was called a lot of things, called a lot of names. He was thought to be illegitimate because they didn't believe in the virgin birth. They thought, oh, his mother had sex out of wedlock. They called him like a bastard child, that sort of thing. But Jesus, even though he was perfect in all of his ways, was not afraid to identify with a sinner. And here he identifies with those that had been in bondage in Egypt. And he goes through that as a basically as a ceremony, just like he went through the baptism in this early ministry with John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, you know, look, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, let it be done to fulfill all righteousness. So although Jesus didn't need to be baptized, he went through the waters of baptism to fulfill every aspect of the minute detail of the law. And he was willing to be called out of Egypt, just like the nation of Israel that was in bondage there, identifying with our bondage, and that he was one who would be called out of Egypt. But this was to fulfill this prophecy. So that's about it. This is going to be a short little lesson here, because the idea is that they went down to Egypt and then they stayed there. They were brought back up. I think the whole it just fits. Of course, they had to, in a practical way, they had to get away from the wrath of the king. Had they stayed there, what would have happened was Herod would have sought out the child. We're going to look at that in the next section, in episode, what would it be? Episode number 11, when we get to the massacre of the innocents. Had Herod known where that child was, if they hadn't escaped, he would have went there and found Jesus and would have put him to death. That was his plan. Of course, we know that God is one step ahead of everyone else, and he foresaw this, he understood this, and so he warned Joseph in this dream to take the young child out of there. Now, next week, or I should say next episode, it's going to be tomorrow, actually, when I release the next one, it's going to show more in detail about what Herod was involved with all this. So we'll look forward to that. And until we do that one, my friends, God bless, and thank you for watching.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.